Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. A dark way to start off the new year. Now that was the opening line of my sermon, which I wrote yesterday morning. I was thinking about the tension between Iraq and Iran and the United States. Sadly, we feel the darkness more intensely this morning and more presently with Albert Webster's death in the night. But we gather today in this church year, this Epiphany Day, to celebrate the light, with the understanding that faith, living in the light, means standing in the darkness, standing in the darkness with those whom deep darkness has covered. It is perhaps the very fundamental meaning and purpose of the church, of our community of faith, and today, our gathering, to stand with Chris and her family, with Carl, with Lily, Eric, remembering that in this standing, we also stand with any and all who are troubled by the darkness of loss. For as we will proclaim this day once more, light is found in our relationships, our standing with one another in times of joy and in times of sorrow. This will be today and always the message of Epiphany, of the light of our lives, that God in Christ Jesus stands with us, bears with us in the darkness, to bring us through the darkness, to be present for as long as it takes to bring us through the darkness, even eternally. So Albert's death intensifies, I believe, what we're all feeling, what our whole nation feels, perhaps what the whole world feels. It's a dark way to start off the new year. However might be judged the actions of the United States against the Iranian general, we all feel a sense of foreboding, a feeling of darkness, of violence, and the deep shadow and dark fear of possibly, perhaps even likely, escalating violence. And on top of this, the deep and dark divide within our nation, symbolized by the articles of impeachment against our nation's president, an escalating violence of language, and physical abuse by hate groups. We could go on. So, as we gather today, we can clearly hear the prophet Isaiah say, "For darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples." And not only Isaiah, but we hear it from Matthew and St. Paul, for they write of a similar dark reality. Thick darkness for Isaiah was the exile of his people. The Israelites had been ripped out of their homes, out of their country, and hauled off to Babylon. Then, as we read the story of the child, there is the darkness and fear in Herod's heart, and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod, who will do violence to children, the innocents, and cause Jesus' own family to become refugees and to go into exile in Egypt. And then for St. Paul, you notice that he is writing from darkness, his own exile, the darkness of prison. Darkness in our lives is characterized by deep separation, in exile, as refugees, nation against nation, communities and neighbors divided, perhaps separated from what we've always known or counted on. In the darkness, everything is unfamiliar. We don't belong. We don't recognize, or we don't acknowledge, or we don't see one another, like strangers in a strange land, like being in prison, like death, or like being separated from God, the God of life, the living presence of life among us. But our biblical writers, in the midst of this deep darkness, are extraordinarily hopeful. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The God of life will arise upon you. Lift up your eyes and look around," proclaims Isaiah. And Paul says in his letter, "See, everyone see. See the plan, which is the mystery of God's plan for all the ages." In the Magi, see that plan revealed in the child. And the Magi were overwhelmed with joy when they saw that the star had stopped and that the light shone down upon the child. "Look around," says Isaiah. Paul wants everyone to see. The Magi saw with joy. What was it? It seemed so dark. What did they see? "Lift up your eyes and look around. See that all gathered together, coming home from exile," says Isaiah. "Then you shall see and be radiant in this very gathering, in the restoration of community, in the deep relationship of friendship and life." And the Magi see the child who is to be completely unlike Herod the Great, who is himself fearful and rules by fear. Jesus, the child of God, the God of life, who will shepherd the people, will gather us all together as God's own creation, one creation. He will gather them together, not huddled in fear, but present to one another in the darkness by being the very light of Christ to each other. St. Paul sees in Christ Jesus that what he calls the mystery of the ages, hidden over millennia, is that we are all gathered together into one human family, into the life of God, the God of love. It was unknown and in darkness, but now it is revealed. Gentiles, all of us, have become heirs, have become children of God. No one is excluded. All are shepherded in by the grace of God, the grace made flesh in Christ Jesus. Isaiah describes this age of light as one in which the wealth of the nations shall come to the restored community. All this talk about camels coming, they were the freight carriers of the age. They brought the wealth. Perhaps it was the only way he could extraordinarily describe it, but the real abundance, the true abundance, is the restored community itself. People living once more for one another. And as this is God's plan, living for God. The Magi also bring gold and wealth. And I want you to know for sure that the kings, the children today, brought real frankincense and myrrh. Didn't have any gold to go around, but frankincense and myrrh is there. The Magi bring this gold and wealth. But again, the abundance of life which Jesus, this humble child, this small speck in the universe, if you will, brings is only concerned with restoring life to individuals and to communities. It is the least, the humble, the child, the shepherd, who will bring life and joy. St. Paul says the same thing. You'll notice that he identifies himself as the very least of all the saints. In fact, literally he says, I am less than the least. And he proclaims that the wisdom, the very abundance of God is in the rich variety that is created, in the rich variety that is in deep relationship with all creation, with all creatures, with all people. This is the mystery of God, the one who created all things in rich variety. The mystery is that all will be shepherded in love together and for one another, that this will be made known to rulers and authorities, even in heaven. The wisdom of God, the light of the universe, the plan of creation, the epiphany star, God's word made flesh, is revealed in the Christ by his birth, by his shepherding, by his healing, by his restoring life among us. And then, when the darkness of separation and violence and division and fear crucified the Christ, the depth of the mystery of his death was revealed in forgiveness and in his total refusal to exact revenge. And so now we live in light, in faith, in forgiveness. We live in resurrection light, sprung from the darkness of death and the grave. And this light binds us together as children of God. So today, Isaiah, St. Paul, the child sent from God, call us all to be light to the world, to be light to Chris and her family, to be light to all those who are in need and suffering loss, to be light ourselves today in Christ Jesus in faith. They call us by being and call us to be a living presence in deep and eternal relationship of care and love with one another and with the child who has been sent. Children of God, arise, shine, your light has come. Amen.